Good morning. Once again, my name is Jose Portillo, and like our brother prayed for us, we are planting a church in the University City, and we ask your prayers. We're praying for us, for our family, for the people of the community, for the college students in the campus. We desire to be a church that brings the gospel news to the community, to the campus, and we desire to be there, present in their lives. So we're thankful for your support, and thank you for letting me come and be part of the services through this month. It's been a pleasure and an honor to worship with you here. Today's passage. Today's passage comes from Matthew 18, 1 through 6. And I would like us to read it. So if you go there with me, we will read God's word. Matthew 18, 1 through 6. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened up around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." This is the word of God, and it is good word, and it is designed, and it will accomplish in our lives that which is intended. So thanks be to the Lord for his word. So I invite you to pray with me and for us to ask the Lord to let his good word bear fruit in our lives. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we hear your word, and as we hear the challenge that you have for us today, we pray that you will prepare our hearts and our souls to be reminded that you are speaking to us, that as you were speaking to your disciples, you are speaking to us. So open our ears that we may listen, that we may grow, that we may learn, that we would be as a child that inherits the kingdom of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Hey, our passage begins right away looking back. He says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus. So Matthew wants us to consider the things that have happened before the disciples have come to Jesus with their question. And by looking back, we will understand the words of Jesus to his disciples, and we will understand better what God wants us to hear today. And our text will make it clear that there are distinctions between those people who are and belong to the kingdom of God and those who are not. So today in our passage, I want us to see three things. And that is that the people of the kingdom of God, they know the kingdom, they know the king, and they know the alternative. You see, in this text, the disciples are asking a question to Jesus. And when Jesus answers them, it is a very surprising question. He tells them in verse 3, if you look at it, he says, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children." That's what the ESV says. In the NIV says, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children." And the King James, it says, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become like children." Then Jesus tells them a surprising part: you will never enter the kingdom of God. And guess what? Jesus is talking to his disciples. They have asked a question. The disciples are asking Jesus a question. These are the disciples that were with Jesus. These are the ones that a couple of chapters ago have seen Jesus in the Mount of Transfiguration hear the word of God speaking to them, reminding them. In Matthew 17:5, we read, "Behold, a bright light, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him.'" The disciples have listened to God speak to them, and God has told them, "Listen to my son." But all of a sudden, Jesus is telling them, "Unless you become like a children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." The disciples have heard that they ought to be listening to Jesus, but we see that Jesus is telling them something because they have not been listening to him. It is clear that the disciples have missed what Jesus has been talking about lately, because they're asking a question that has nothing to do with what Jesus has been doing, what he's been preaching, what he's been teaching them. He's telling them, unless you realize that, unless you turn back to him, unless you change your minds, Jesus is telling his disciples, unless you change your thinking, unless you are converted, unless you look at what I'm saying to you, you will not be able to comprehend. And if you are not able to comprehend, you will not be able to apprehend what the kingdom is about. This is why this text is important for us today, because we also need to be reminded that the Christian walk, that the Christian life, that the invitation that the Lord gives each of us is not to pursue that which is popular and that what is cool, or those things that are only concerning to ourselves as an individual, but that the kingdom of God is about his kingdom that has been given to us by the King. It's about the invitation that he gives us to come into his kingdom, to be with him, and to have eternal life. That's why the people of the kingdom need to know the kingdom. Yeah, that's why verse 18, if you look at it, he says, at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? The disciples wanted to know who of them was going to be the greatest in the kingdom. They are thinking about themselves. They're thinking, okay, if we're talking to Jesus and we've been walking with him for a long time, I wonder what I'm going to get out of it. They're wondering if they could get insight from Jesus in who was going to be above the rest of the other disciples. They were concerned about themselves. They were not concerned with what Jesus has been doing. All of a sudden, we realize that sometimes we also get distracted in that way. We know this, that they have not been listening, because just a couple of verses before chapter 18, if you look at Matthew 17, 22 and 23, Jesus has been sharing the good news of the gospel. In Matthew 17, 22 and 23, it says, when they came together in Galilee, he said to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men. They will kill him, and on the third day he will be raised to life. But the disciples were filled with grief. Jesus, just a couple of verses ago, he's been sharing the good news of the gospel, but the disciples are filled with grief. The disciples are experiencing the emotions of hearing the gospel, but they are not taking hold of the gospel message. Jesus was telling them that the kingdom was not of this earth, but that it would have to be delivered. This kingdom, this promise of the kingdom, would have to come through his life being given to men in order for him to die. This kingdom was not of this earth. This could not be achieved and attained in an earthly manner. And he is challenging them to know that they are actually not paying very close attention, because the kingdom of God will have to come through the death of the Son of God. But this news filled the disciples with grief to the point that they dismissed, or they could not hear the news that Jesus was telling them. They could not hear, but rather they began to think, okay, Jesus is telling us that the kingdom is near, so I'm wondering, what will I get? If Jesus will die, what do I get? The disciples had missed the whole message that Jesus had just been sharing with them, and that was that he was going to die, but on the third day, he was going to be raised to life. The disciples forgot the word of Jesus and gave way to idle thinking. They began to think and miss the fact that the kingdom of God would not come without a cost. Jesus needed to give up his life. Jesus needed to give and pay this great cost so that they would earn a great blessing. Jesus was telling them the way to be blessed. Jesus was telling them the way in which the kingdom was going to come to them. Jesus was telling them that he was going to rise up victorious over death, and that he was going to give up his life so that they will obtain a way into the kingdom to be with the King. So we see that the question of the disciples is wrong. They wanted to know who amongst them, who's the best, who's the greatest. But Jesus had already answered that question. Jesus is saying, me. Jesus is saying, I will die. I will give life. I will give you eternal life. I am going to the cross. The way of the kingdom is through my death. The way through the success, the way through what I'm promising to you is through my death so that you may have eternal life. But the disciples were anxious. They were hearing that the kingdom of God is getting near, and they are wondering, what am I going to get? Jesus was doing all the work to gain for his people eternal life. Jesus was doing all the work so that they will have a place, that they will belong into the kingdom, not as workers, not as visitors, not as strangers, but as sons and daughters. But they were wondering, if the kingdom is coming, I wonder if we've been with him from the start, what type of stock package are we going to get? I wonder what type of benefits we're going to get because we've been with him from the beginning. I wonder what wages we're going to get. I wonder what honors we're going to get in the kingdom without realizing it. Ambition is this question that they have is full of ambition. And ambition has clouded their eyes. And so in hearing that Jesus would die, they wanted to act and make sure that they guaranteed for themselves a good spot before it was too late. This is why Jesus calls them out and exposes their heart in verses 2 and 3. He says, "And calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them and said, 'Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven.'" Jesus shows them that in their thinking, they are losing sight of the kingdom and the aim of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is the aim. The kingdom of heaven is the gift where the fellowship, where they were going to have fellowship with God, a holy God. That's the picture. That is the gift. A holy God relating to sanctified people because of the sacrifice of Christ in the cross. God was offering to them a place of eternal belonging because of the sacrifice he was about to perform. Jesus wanted them to know that the kingdom of heaven requires that they would have new life, that they would have repentance, that they would turn away from this world and becoming like people of this world. They needed to become new people, being renewed and invited to be part of this kingdom. The kingdom of God was the promise. You know, every year, thousands of people in the United States complain that somebody sold them a great package, a great dream, a great vacation package. They show them the pictures, the pamphlets. They get to walk through a virtual tour. They get to go maybe walk into a model house of what it could be to have vacation space somewhere. But something happens. This is a timeshare. They get to share in the time that they get to use for this great dream that they have been offered. But guess what? Every year, thousands and thousands of people file complaints that what they have been promised is not what they're getting. What they're paying for is not actually what they're enjoying. So rather than have enjoyment of this oasis, of this big dream, of this amazing dream package that they could enjoy every year, thousands and thousands of people file claims against these tactics because they get shown this amazing dream. But ultimately, when they step in, they are not getting what they're looking for. Rather than enjoying enjoyment and rest, they end up just pursuing stress. This is what the world offers. C.S. Lewis, I wrote this quote because I've always liked this quote. C.S. Lewis writes, "It would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition, with infinite joy is being offered to us, but like ignorant children, we want to go making mud pies in a slum because we cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased." What about us? Matthew is reminding us that even the disciples, as they are thinking about the kingdom, they're thinking not about the great offer that Jesus is giving them, but they're thinking in small ways. They're not thinking about the kingdom and the king and belonging to the community. They're thinking, maybe I'll have a name, maybe I'll have position, maybe I will have resources. So the invitation that Matthew asks is like, we are called to know the king. And that's why verses 4 and 5, Jesus tells them, "Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one child in my name receives me." When the disciples were wondering, who would be the Who would get the corner office? Who's going to get the best stock options? Who's going to get in before this kingdom goes public? Jesus was calling them to realize that the access to the kingdom does not come through proximity. It comes from knowledge. They were being invited to know him. They were being invited to receive him. They were being invited to walk with him, to understand him. In verse 2 and 3, when they are asking the question of who is the greatest, Jesus brings a child. He calls a child, and the child listens to his voice and obeys. After calling to him a child, he put him in the midst of them. Jesus uses this example of a child that is obeying his voice. He says, "Child, come," and the child is coming. God has already told them, his disciples, listen to Jesus. They are not listening to Jesus. They're asking questions about what they will get. And all of a sudden, Jesus is giving an example. He calls a child, and the child is coming. Jesus tells them that the access to the kingdom requires, which means access to the king requires obedience to the king, requires dependence on the king, requires trusting that what the king is offering, what the king is inviting us to, is good. He invites us to honor the king. That's why the text says, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." You know, in verses 4 and 5, Jesus tells them that in order for them to enter the kingdom, they must hear the voice of the king. That's why he says, "Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom." What did the child do? The child heard the voice of God. Jesus called him, and he came to him. The kid was in the embrace of Jesus as Jesus is explaining to his disciples. The people and the disciples were being invited to find their delights as the same way that this child was finding delight in the arms of Jesus. They needed to know that they belong to him. They needed to know that they are his. They needed to know that the Lord will give up his life and he will resurrect so that they have life, so that they have the ultimate promise of abundant eternal life. They should have known that whatever the king calls them to do, the king will ensure that it is good. Jesus was calling them to rest in his voice. Jesus was calling them to hear his voice and to know that he will care for them because he is their king, just as the child had done. Because whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. This means that those who rest in Jesus, those who rest in Jesus' cares as this child was resting, who came when he was called, are able to speak better of the kingdom and of the king. A kingdom not about what we can get, but a kingdom where the news are about good news, that we have access to the kingdom because the king has given his life so that we would have life, so that the king has invited us to belong in a kingdom that is forever. His disciples were concerned in that question with position, with privilege, with recognition. But the king had come to empty himself. The king had come to be identified with grief. The king had come to not be recognized by position or privilege. He came to give it up so that a people would have free access to this kingdom, to the kingdom where the king would reign forever, where they would have access to the Lord. Jesus was telling his disciples, "Look at the example of this child who heard my voice, the voice of God, and came to me." And we are called to look at the example of Jesus, the life of Jesus who came down from heaven to be a baby. Jesus came down to be a baby to become a child. Jesus heard the voice of God, of the Father, and obediently came to give up his life in this earth. Jesus humbled himself. The eternal God came to this earth to make a way through the giving of his life to obtain access for the people that would be like that child who hear his voice and come to him. The answer to the question the disciples made was obvious. Who is the greatest, disciples? Who is the greatest? Jesus is the greatest. And those who receive him will enter the kingdom of God. They were asking the wrong question to the wrong person. They were asking Jesus, who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? They were asking the wrong question. They were asking the greatest of the kingdom. Who is the greatest? Matthew reminds us that the king is giving us access to his kingdom and that we should be alert lest we find ourselves pursuing the alternative kingdom, the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of the present life, the kingdom of the material life, the kingdom that offers those things that are temporal. We are called to know the king. Jesus' words to his disciples in verse 6 says, "But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea." These are Jesus' words to his disciples. These are Jesus warning and calling them, be alert what the world is changing your expectations on. Jesus is calling his disciples to be clear. The kingdom of heaven is for those who leave it all in order to have a place, in order to have a relationship with the king. It's a call of self-denial. In contrast, the kingdom of this world invites those who would die with it to a life of pursuing self-centeredness, to a life of, what about me? To a life that, what I can get. What the disciples had not understood is that in choosing to find their identity in the things and in the systems of this world, they were choosing to come under its rule and reign. And even worse, in choosing to think about what they could get, they were becoming witnesses to others that what this world has to offer is good. And in doing so, they were becoming witnesses, inviting others to come and pursue the things of this world. That's why Jesus tells them, look at this child. And those, he obeyed my voice, he came to me, and those who receive him will be receiving me. They will enter the kingdom of God, and those who receive them are receiving Jesus, which makes it clear that if we choose to find our identity in this earthly world, as we pursue our own lives, as we pursue our own positions, as we pursue our own privileges, it makes us guilty. It makes us guilty because all of a sudden we are testifying to others that this world is enough. And that makes us to hear the same words that Jesus said, it would be better for you to have a great millstone fastened around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus is saying, those who receive this child, who has heard my voice, who has come running towards me, are receiving me. But those who pursue the things of the world are inviting people to pursue the things of the world. And those are the ones that are making children sin and pursue the world. Warning, don't be like them, lest you be drowned in the sea. You know, in Mark 10, we see the story of the rich young ruler. He comes to Jesus because he has obtained everything he has been pursuing. He has religious recognition. He's living a good moral life. He has social status and he has wealth. So now he says, okay, I have everything. Now I need some acceptance and recognition from these great men that everybody is pursuing. So he finally comes to Jesus and asks for a position. And he asks for acceptance. And he asks for an affirmation from Jesus. But Jesus calls him to a different aim. Jesus tells them, reject your own way. Leave all of their life's pursuits and pursue me. And today you can have access to the kingdom. And today you can know the king. But the rich young ruler left very sad because Jesus was demanding a radical conversion and transformation. He was not willing. He was not willing to leave the things of this world and to leave the things that where he was finding his identity. Even though Jesus was offering the kingdom and the king, if he was to leave everything behind, he chose to walk away sad in order to maintain hold of the things that he could control. You know, Jesus has called his disciples was for them to see and understand that they had begun placing their identity in the wrong place, in the wrong things. In the name, position, and recognition, they were becoming self-centeredness. And Jesus wanted them to know, if you pursue this way, make sure to know you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Rather, Jesus pointed them to a child and said, be like this child. He has heard my voice. He has come to me. Then he belongs into the kingdom, and those who belong, who accept him will also belong to the kingdom. They will belong to the fellowship with the King of Kings. You know, in conclusion, in 1 John 2:14, 12 to 14, you hear how John is talking about children. He says, I am writing to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. He says in verse 13, I write to you, children, because you know the Father. Go and read that second chapter of John. He says, be children, because you will know and you will realize that we fall short constantly from being accepted by Jesus, but he has died. He has resurrected so that we would have life. So go be like little children who recognize that our sins, they are many, but his mercies are more. But children, in 1 John says, they also recognize that they have a father, that they can come to him, that they have access to him. If they have been forgiven of their sins in Jesus, they have a father. And go read 1 John because he says, don't remain just a child. But become a young person that knows that their strength is in the Lord, that they can overcome sin. Become fathers and mothers who realize that they have come to know him personally. Brothers and sisters, be people who know the King, who pursue the eternal life that he offers. Because his kingdom is without end, and he invites us through the blood of Jesus Christ to belong to the kingdom. And if you run to him, and if you obey his voice, and if you receive those who are running towards him, you will know him. So I invite you, pursue the King, pursue the kingdom, pursue that life, and invite children to know him, and invite the community to know him. God has placed you in circles of influence where you get to testify that the King is alive, and the life that he offers is an abundant life. So I invite you, knowing the King and knowing that you have access to the kingdom, invite others that they too will come and taste and see that the Lord is good. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you desire that we would run like children who hear your voice and run towards you and believe and trust that your way is good and that the life that you offer is an abundant life. So I pray, Lord, may we find our satisfaction. May we find our identity. May we find our feet standing on solid ground. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.